Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Doug Berry's here, too, because if he weren't, this wouldn't be nearly as much fun. Doug is an old friend of ours. He's director of marketing and communication for the U.S. Commercial Services, and which is a division of the U.S. Commerce Department, which is an organization that I want every small business owner in America to get to know a little bit more. And I can't think of anybody who can do a better job of introducing that organization and the things that they do than our good friend Doug Berry. Doug, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much, Jim.
It's good to have you back.
Good to be here.
You've brought some stories, haven't you?
Yes.
You've got some stories of some people who've had some success in doing what I've been talking about.
Exactly.
Tell us about them.
Well, you know, a number of these companies have started their businesses in garages and basements in their home, and in one case, which I'll tell you about in a minute, a barn. And I don't have a barn, and I don't have a garage, but I do have a basement, and I don't know about you, but I tend to sleep in it, not invent new businesses and new products. And I suppose if I were a presidential candidate, I might suggest some additional tax breaks for people who have home factories in their basements and garages.
And how do the neighbors feel about that?
Well, it depends. In the case of this one business, and this, of course, is what's great about this country, isn't it? That you know, people are able to create businesses in this way and invent new things. And I don't know why the preference for home basements and barns and so forth, but maybe
it's the 30. It's called a 30-second commute.
Yeah, I guess it is. People are just more comfortable doing
it. That's right. That's right. I've done it. I've been there, done that.
You've been there. And then this one company, it's based in rural Mississippi, and the fellow about 10 years ago was just very interested in plastics and geodesic domes. So he started creating some structures in his barn made of these materials. And one day, the local undertaker, who was also the county venture capitalist, happened by in his car or his
I think he'll do your taxes too if you
probably
go by.
He'll do a lot of things, both before and after. And he stopped by and he needed you know, some of these structures for, I don't know, whatever purpose he had in mind. And he asked the fellow who was making them how long it would take to produce, you know, five or six of them. And he said, "Well, my little wooden bench here, it'll probably take 7 years." And so the undertaker said, "Well, that won't work, but I really admire your work, so I'm going to invest in your company, and we'll put in a modern production line here in the barn, or maybe we'll move her closer to town."
So the undertaker business was good there in town, I guess.
It was very good, or maybe not so good, which is why he was looking for to diversify a little bit into things for the living. So he invested in it, and pretty soon they were turning out these geodesic domes made out of fiberglass, and they were really housing units. And somehow they managed to get a contract with the U.S. military to put these things in some atoll out in the South Pacific. The military loved them because, made out of fiberglass as they are, they don't weather easily. And
termites can't get to it.
Exactly. The bugs won't bother them, and the maintenance costs were almost nothing. So, long story short, the company came to one of our U.S. export assistance centers. This is our domestic network. There's one in Mississippi, and asked about how to get some new customers overseas. And we went to work, and soon we had found a buyer for them in India. And India, of course, has a lot of people, over a billion, that need housing, a lot of poorer people that really don't have much in the way of housing. So we found one of the governments, local governments in India, interested in these geodesic dome houses. So they made a purchase, and eventually they invited this company to set up an assembly plant, not really outsourcing, because here The molds are actually made in Mississippi,
right.
The high-value stuff. And
yeah, you got to have the molds for these. Anytime you make your fiberglass, like a boat or anything like that, you got to have the molds.
Exactly. So they ended up, shipping the molds over. It was cheaper to ship them in pieces rather than fully assembled. And now the plant has opened in India, and they're churning these things out on a regular basis.
Is the plant assembling them, though, or are they actually hand laying the fiberglass over there as well?
They just assemble.
So the fiberglass components are made in Mississippi.
Correct.
And then shipped in bulk over to be assembled. And I've got the thing in front of me. I've got the article you sent me in front of me. The title of the article, folks, is pretty cool. It's "There's No Place Like Dome." I like that. Was that your idea?
Well, I'm pretty good at the puns. I can't make anything, but I'm good at puns.
that was a good one, Doug.
Because he went to
your place in Mississippi there, right?
Yes, that's correct. And then our office in India, we have offices in 86 countries around the world, and the office there made the introductions, gave them all the information they need to know about customs and setting up an operation over there. And then when they ran into some difficulties with customs on the first order, we helped smooth the way, get it cleared, and get them into business over there.
Wow.
And now they're doing it. Now they're going great guns. And this guy is now the sort of guru. He's over there in the first phase of the startup there, and he couldn't be happier. I imagine the Undertaker, who is still alive, is doing backflips at the wisdom of his investment.
No kidding. So this guy now is the major domo of domes. Is that what you're saying?
Well, that's a good pun too, Jeff.
Sorry about that. That'll be my last one for the day, folks.
It's dome sweet dome, I keep saying.
Yeah, I like that. Okay, no more.
But
this
enough.
Is what a great story, though. I mean, and the guy just had a good idea, and he wandered into your offices there, U.S. Commercial Services offices there, in his own state. You guys got, how many have you got across the country?
We have 107.
107.
Yes, probably one near.
There's one near you ladies and gentlemen, and don't get all focused on this being. I mean, this guy had a manufactured item that is pretty easy to see how you could export this.
Right.
So if you can't see how you could export what you sell, what you do, don't worry about that. Start the education process, Doug. That's what I was telling him earlier. Just start the education process. Don't set a goal right now of selling something overseas. Set a goal of finding out what it would take to sell overseas, and maybe even import things from overseas. 20 after. We'll be right back with our good friend Doug Barry. He is with the U.S. Commercial Services. He's the Director of Marketing and Communication there. 20 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Doug Barry, a longtime member of our Brain Trust, Director of Marketing and Communication for the U.S. Commercial Services, a division of the U.S. Chamber, Department of Commerce. And give us a couple of your websites, Doug. You've got commercialservices.gov, is that right?
Well, actually, it's export.gov.
That's right.
And then it has a slash behind the gov, that's a forward slash, and then CS, that's for commercial service. It goes directly to our homepage.
Export.gov/CS. But also, what about the buyusa.com website?
Yes, buyusa.com website is one of our special services that match U.S. producers with buyers around the world. And it costs $50 a year for a subscription, but it's cheap, and it opens the door to new business, potentially, without having to leave your home office in your basement or wherever
right.
it might be.
Right.
And that URL is www.buyusa.com. It's a .com, but it's really operated by the Department of Commerce.
Right. And by the way, I'm going to hear your boss speak again. I saw him in Orlando last month with the SBA, and I'm going to be hearing him speak later this week in Washington at the NFIB summit.
That's Secretary Don Evans.
Yeah, that's right, Don Evans, and he's a good guy and a true believer in small business. I'll tell you that. You know that
absolutely.
For sure. You got another story for us, haven't you?
Yes, and it's kind of related to Don Evans. Secretary Evans was in Baltimore the other day, which is just north of Washington, D.C., about a 40-minute drive from where I'm sitting now, and he presented one of our presidential e-awards for exporting to a small company up there called Seafire Marine, and they make fire extinguishers and fire suppression units for ocean-going vessels. And it's a small company. It has about 40 employees, and they've recently added 12 additional employees. It was 28, now it's 40, and the additional 12 came from their exporting business that started back in 1996 with our help.
Huh.
And they make fire extinguishers. This is one of their main product lines, and they're not the only company in this country or world to make such devices, but I think not only do they make an excellent device in this category, but they're just very good at marketing their product.
Well, and where have they found opportunities overseas?
Well, surprisingly, they've found them in many markets. They found them in Europe, and just recently, with the help of the commercial service, they've expanded to South Africa and to the Middle East.
Now, Doug, there are people out there, before you just said that, there are people out there thinking, well, aren't there people in Europe and South Africa who make these things? Why would they want the product from somebody from Baltimore?
Well, I think that in part it's the quality of the product itself. They've been making them for a long time. And the other part is price. I think that U.S. companies are very competitive on price these days.
Mm-hmm. Well, especially with the exchange rate.
With the exchange rate now being very favorable. In some cases, it makes the difference of 20%. We also have free trade agreements now with a number of countries, which knock down the price even further.
Knock those artificial barriers down.
Absolutely.
The
and then, you know, with the U.S. government helping them in these overseas markets, it gives U.S. companies a leg up on the competition.
And well, absolutely. And because you guys do such a wonderful job, Doug, of cutting through. I mean, if I'm sitting in Sheboygan, Wisconsin, and I'm thinking about doing business overseas, looking out across the globe and across that expanse of water is really intimidating. But if I make a phone call or if I go to a U.S. Commercial Services office and I say, I make a brown widget that we turn upside down, and they say, okay, let's put that into our database. Let's give us a little time and let's see if we can find somebody. You know what, folks? It really demystifies the whole process, doesn't it, Doug?
Well, it does. And, you know, some of your listeners, Jim, may say, oh, the U.S. government, here's this guy on the radio again saying, I'm from the government and I'm here to help you. I can hear the eyes rolling out there now. But let me tell you, there are 14,000 small and medium-sized enterprises that we, the U.S. Commercial Service of the Department of Commerce, helped last year generate $35 billion in sales. So I'm not the least bit embarrassed about saying to your listeners, I'm from the government, and I am here to help you.
He is. That's the truth.
And I will help you.
Doug, I heard a number a while back, and I wish I could say it. Maybe you know it, about what the percentage of export is that's attributed to small business. Do you have that number?
Yes. It's about 2%, which is up, 400% from 8 years ago.
Right.
But there's still a lot of untapped opportunity out there. A lot of companies that could export and do very well at it, like this company in Baltimore, but aren't. And I think a lot of them, as you say, feel intimidated. They're a little afraid of losing their money and getting paid. All of those, of course, are legitimate concerns, but we can help lower that risk and the cost of entry into these new markets by a tremendous amount.
And you, too, could help extend the peace dividend by doing business with people. And you've heard me say this before, folks, when goods cross borders, armies don't. Frederick Bastiat said that. It's a peace dividend. When we trade with people, we don't hate them and we won't fight them. Doug Barry, thank you for being here. Good job today.
Well said, Jim, and thanks so much.
Hey, we'll see you next time. Doug Barry, ladies and gentlemen, with the U.S. Department of Commerce, the U.S. Commercial Services Division there. quick break. I'll be right back with Mr. Jack Mitchell. This show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot. And I
want to sleep. Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.